Today, Srimad, today the class will be given by His Grace Baladev Prabhuji on glories of Lord Narsingadev and Jayananda Prabhu. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you are there on the call.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you Prabhuji for giving your association in this Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Giving your valuable time. We are really fortunate, Prabhuji, to hear from you on this auspicious day. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you all very much. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, dear devotees, thank you very much for inviting me and allowing me to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam, Book Bhagavat and the Person Bhagavatas. I was asked initially to speak on Sriman Jayananda Prabhu and also on Lord Narsingadev, tomorrow being Lord Narsingadev's appearance day. Meanwhile, in the end, I also was told to also add Rukmini Devi's pastimes as well. Today is also Rukmini Dwadashi here. At least in India, it is like that. So, I try to cover all those things in a short time, whatever time is available. We'll begin with Rukmini Devi's pastimes first. We all know about the beautiful pastime of how Krishna kidnapped Rukmini. So that pastime is very beautifully depicted in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. And that happens immediately after Krishna has killed Kamsa. And Krishna comes back after Sandipani Muni's training. It is mentioned that being unhappy with Kamsa being killed, Jarasan, he who is the father-in-law of Kamsa, arranges a big army to fight and march over Mathura, where Krishna, Balaram and all the devotees of Krishna and Mathura stay. So to cut the whole story short, we know that how 17 times Jarasand came, he was defeated and Krishna sent him back. Finally, on the 18th time, Jarasand came and Kala Yavana, on the other hand, also came. Krishna arranged for Kala Yavana to be killed, and for Jarasand's place, Krishna did not want to kill him because he knew very well in future my devotee Bhimsen, he will kill him. So at this time Krishna very amazingly and very interestingly left the battle and ran away. So our acharyas mentioned why should Krishna run away, because Krishna is so chivalrous and he has previously already defeated 17 times Jarasandha, bringing equal number of army, number of divisions. Why should Krishna run like this? In fact, Krishna's running also is very auspicious because Krishna's running is transcendental. And Krishna ran, therefore one of the names of Krishna is Ranachod. Ranachod means one who ran away from battle. But let's understand why Krishna ran away from battle. What was the reason? Because without reason, Krishna does not act. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions, Srila Prabhupada also says, that Sri Krishna knew very well, now that Dwarka has been built up and all the devotees have been shifted to Dwarka, at this time, Krishna was expecting an important letter coming from Rukmini's side. And the letter was not just important, but it was very urgent because it was sent exactly just few days before when Rukmini was supposed to be forcefully married against her wish to Shishupal. So Krishna knew that he could not spend much time fighting Jarasandha, he was just here. So Krishna ran away from that place to take care of her devotee. So Krishna reached Dwarka in time, just in time when the Brahmana came and gave the message that Rukmini wants to marry you and have asked to kidnap her at this particular time from her own place in Kaundinyapur, which is the town where she, city where she stayed. So we know that how beautifully Krishna dexterously took Rukmini away from the place and then finally Rukmini was married to Krishna. So Krishna's first wife in this beautiful Krishna Leela was Rukmini Devi. And later on Krishna then married Satyabhama, Jamuvati, and later on 16,108 queens he had. So there are beautiful pastimes of Krishna with each of his wives. But Krishna's prominent wife of all wives was Rukmini Devi. Not because she was married first to Krishna, but because of her devotional qualities. She was always humble and meek, and she was always subservient to whatever Krishna spoke to her. She was very obedient to Krishna. Now let us analyze some beautiful pastimes of Rukmini Devi with Krishna, or how Krishna and Rukmini Devi had wonderful loving reciprocation with each other. I would like to take you to a beautiful story which happens to come in Chaitanya Mangal, a book written by Shri Lochan Das Thakur. So Lochan Das Thakur mentions a beautiful prologue of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this age of Kali Yuga. So he mentions a story which is also one of the reasons why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as Lord Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kali Yuga. So it is said so that one time Narad Muni, who was a transcendental mendicant traveling all around the universe, happened to see the earth planet from very far away. And because Narad Muni is a Trikal Yajna, that means he could see the future, he could see that soon after Krishna would depart from the material world and the end of Dwapar Yuga, Kali Yuga is going to begin. And he could foresee the anomalies in Kali Yuga. And when Narad Muni saw the whole picture coming in front of him of Kali Yuga, he became very upset because he was trying his best to analyze how we can help people in Kali Yuga. But when he failed, he became very desperate to know how things can work in Kali Yuga in terms of giving compassion, Krishna consciousness to everyone. So Narad Muni did not get a clue of that. So he decided, let me go to Earth Planet now. At this time, Krishna is in Dwarka. Let me go there and ask Krishna himself, what's his plan after he leaves this planet back to his eternal kingdom of Goloka Vrindavan? What is his plan for Kali Yuga? How Kali Yuga people will be delivered? So with this in mind, Narad Muni ventures into a journey into the earth planet towards Dwarka. So when Narad Muni is coming towards Dwarka, here in Dwarka on the earth planet, Lord Krishna has just come from Hastinapur after making sure the Pandavas are protected and Yudhishthira Maharaj is the king of Hastinapur. Now Lord Krishna is making his journey from Hastinapur to Dwarka. So beautiful description is given in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about this particular thing of arrival of Krishna in Dwarka. So it is mentioned that Krishna arrives in Dwarka, he greets all the devotees in Dwarka very nicely according to the age. To the elders, he offers respect, touches their feet. To equals, he embraces them. And for juniors, he offers blessings. So it is mentioned that eventually Krishna then multiplies himself into many forms and he visits many places. In one form, Krishna visits his mother and father in the palace, Vasudeva Devaki. In some other forms, he is visiting the 16,108 queens. So Krishna now visits Rukmini. So let's focus on Rukmini's palace. So Krishna is now entering Rukmini's palace and Rukmini is very pleased with Krishna coming in. Immediately Rukmini brings Krishna with her hand and asks him to sit in one particular cushion seat. And immediately she brings in a pot and she brings a water pot and starts with Abhishek of Krishna's lotus feet. Hare Krishna. Yeah, so Krishna's lotus feet was being washed by Rukmini Devi. So Krishna was very pleased by the devotion of Rukmini. And Krishna saw an amazing thing, that Rukmini was washing the lotus feet of Krishna, but Rukmini Devi was also shedding tears. So Krishna was intrigued. Krishna asked Rukmini, "Well, I understand that you can shed tears when I am not there in separation. But right now I am here and you are watching me, you are serving me. Then why these tears have come in your eyes?" So Rukmini Devi is unable to describe this to Krishna. And immediately she tells Krishna, "Krishna, you will not understand this. This is a bhav of a devotee." So Krishna becomes more intrigued now. And he says to Rukmini, "You know who I am? I am Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I know everything. How can you say that I do not know this?" And immediately Rukmini replies that, "Because you are not a devotee. You are Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only Srimati Radharani and myself know that what experience of joy we get when we serve you, and how much we feel separation when you go away." So Krishna becomes very interested in this whole dialogue. He said, "What is this? I need to know this. It's a very important mystery for me." And at that time, Narad Muni also comes in. So Krishna sees Narad Muni. Immediately, he offers obeisances to Narad Muni. And Krishna then tells Narad Muni, "What brings you here? What is the reason?" And I see, "Narad Muni, you feel little, there is some, your facial expression shows that you are not very kind of happy, you have some anxiety in your face, in your mind. What is that?" So Narad Muni immediately tells Krishna that, "You know, I was looking at earth planet from very far away. Then I found in future Kali Yuga is going to come. People are going to be tormented. People are going to be turning away from religion. They will be miserable. They will be suffering so much. So I was feeling compassion for them, but I did not answer. I don't have answer for how we can relieve the compassion of people in Kali Yuga. So I thought, let me come to you and ask, what is your plan for Kali Yuga? Because you need to help people in Kali Yuga and deliver them from the clutches of illusion." So Krishna smiled. And Krishna says, "See, this is called as a unique way of my mission and plan. Right? One way I have to also solve Narad Muni's predicament. I have to answer his plea that I need to help Kali Yuga. I need to do something for Kali Yuga. And here is Rukmini Devi, she is saying that I do not know that the bhav of a devotee when she or he serves Krishna." So Krishna immediately saw both Narad Muni and Rukmini and said, "I am going to solve this both the puzzle which I have got now in a unique way by appearing in Kali Yuga in a very munificent form as Lord Gauranga. And then what I will do is as Yugavatar, I will re-establish religion in the form of chanting of the holy names. And apart from that, I will deliver conditioned souls, stock and barrel, everyone free. And then, apart from that, I will also, because I would not come in the form of a lord, I would come in the form of my devotee. And I will experience what Rukmini Devi is talking about, what Radharani is talking about. I want to be devotee of myself and experience the bhav, the love, the taste which one receives as a devotee serving Krishna." So with this understanding, then Rukmini became one of the principal reasons, one of the principal reasons why Lord Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as mentioned in Chaitanya Mangala book written by Srila Lochandas Thakur. Now, I also want to point out a very beautiful pastime which is connected to a very beautiful temple in South India. We need to know that when Lord Krishna, who was born in Mathura but was taken across Yamuna and he was in Gokul Vrindavan, he spent his childhood years in Vrindavan, in Gokul, and he was been nurtured and cared by Mother Yashoda. So by the time Krishna came back to Mathura, Vasudev and Devaki, Devaki was the one who was the reason for the appearance of Lord Krishna in prison cell. Like, she was the mother of Krishna. She is the mother of Krishna. So when Krishna came back, one particular day, Devaki called Krishna and said, "Well, I am so happy that you are back and I am now experiencing all your beautiful reciprocation. I saw you getting married, your children now, So everything, all the rasas I'm experiencing having you as my son. But my one difficulty is that I have never experienced your childhood rasa. So I wish, I always heard that you were very naughty in the childhood, you stole butter and you give a lot of pleasure to Yashoda. I have never experienced that rasa. I would like to experience that rasa. So Krishna decided now to give a taste of that rasa to Devaki. So Krishna said, I can, if you want, I can transform myself into a small baby. Exactly like that, I was as a Krishna, a small child in Vrindavan, when Mother Yashoda was taking care of me. But I want you to experience this Leela alone. No one should be here in this room. So immediately, it is mentioned, Devaki closed all the doors and windows. And Krishna, he immediately transformed himself into a small child, naughty child. Like the butter thief past time, we know Krishna was always stealing butter. And Devaki, Mother Devaki was so happy seeing charming Krishna. She bought all the butter pots. Krishna was breaking the butter pots, eating the butter. And Devaki was so charmed and she was very happy cuddling Krishna, making him drink the milk. So Krishna performed many small, beautiful pastimes like this during that short period of time. Now what happened? By chance, nothing is by chance in this world, right? But anyways, by chance, it is mentioned the pastime here, that Rukmini Devi happened to also be around that area. And she did not know why Devaki had closed the doors and windows. So quite a little intrigued, she opened one of the windows and then she saw this beautiful Leela taking place. But she saw that Krishna had become a small childhood boy and he is running around and Devaki is running behind Krishna, trying to catch Krishna. It's like Mother Yashoda was trying to catch Krishna. And he's breaking the pot, eating the butter and he's having a curd or butter in the hand or curd in the hand. And he is having a stick in the hand and running around. So Rukmini Devi saw that beautiful pastime. No one came to know Krishna perform this pastime. He also was, in one sense, Krishna was, Krishna knew but did not know all these things that Rukmini was watching over. However, after some time when Krishna came back to his original form, Devaki was very much pleased because she had some remembrance now. She was going to churn that remembrance throughout her life and remember Krishna like this. So Krishna came back to the palace of Rukmini. And that time Rukmini revealed to Krishna that actually I want to tell you that I saw your pastimes as a small child. So Krishna was very amazed. How did you come there? We had kept the doors and windows closed. Oh, one of the door was not properly closed. One of the window was not properly closed. I saw it from there. So Rukmini said, but I need one blessing from you. Krishna said, what blessings you want? I was so happy seeing your beautiful pastime and beautiful form. I wish to have a small deity of yours. Exactly that deity which I saw where you're playing with Devaki, Mother Devaki. I need to worship that deity. So Krishna was very amazed. Krishna was thinking that I need to fulfill the desire of Rukmini Devi. And Krishna manifested from his own body a beautiful deity of standing like a small child. Within one hand he is having some curd, in other hand he is having a cowherd stick. So that deity was worshipped by Krishna for many, many years. And finally, it is mentioned when Dwarka was submerged in water, that deity got lost in Dwarka. In fact, it is mentioned that it didn't get lost in Dwarka. It is said that that deity was being transcendently carried by some associates of the Lord, and it got deposited in a very famous place near Dwarka. And near Dwarka, if you have been to Dwarka anytime, it is Dwarka, there is a place called as Gopi Talao, the place where we all get our Gopi Chandan Tilak from. We all wear every Tilak from our body, upon our body. And that's primarily coming from one place in Dwarka. So that deity got submerged in that lake and it got covered over by Chandan. So let's fast forward from Dwapara Yuga now to Kali Yuga. 800 years back. That was the time when there was one merchant who went to Dwarka to do some business. He had traveled from the south of India towards the west of India through a ship. He had his own ship, big ship. So kind of a big boat kind of thing. So he was a big merchant. So he had bought many things which he wanted to sell it in his own place. So, but he also knew that the storms are very common in this ocean. So he wanted to also keep heavy loads to balance the boat properly. Someone had told him that he can pick up some, these are very cheap available chunks or big boulders of Gopi Chandan, and then you can give it to some sadhu or some sannyasi or someone who can kind of, you know, worship those, you can use that for his puja. So for as a weighing thing, he carried a lot of big chunks of Gopi Chandan, and he kept on the boat, and the boat was sailing through. It is mentioned that Shripad Madhvacharya, who was at that time staying in Udupi, he was there, and he was he would have, because he is the incarnation of Vayu, wind god. So Shripad Madhvacharya went on the banks of the ocean every day. He used to go there, and he would remember Krishna, sing the bhajans of Krishna. So it is mentioned that one particular day, anticipating, Shripad Madhvacharya is a pure devotee of Krishna, he is an acharya. So anticipated there is going to be special reciprocation of Krishna with me. So in that anticipation, he went on the banks of the ocean that day, and he started singing beautiful bhajans to attract Krishna's mercy on him. And at that time, he saw a heavy storm was blowing off, the winds everywhere, and from very far away, he saw in the ocean there was a ship which got caught up in the storm, and this merchant, that was his ship, and the whole ship got caught up. So it is mentioned that he did not know what to do. He was not able to sail through. So he had a small boat. So he sent some few people on the small boat to go on the banks of the ocean and see if some help could come up. So he sent some few men of his who were sailing with him. They came on the banks, and they were looking here and there. They found, did not find anyone there. They found a sannyasi sitting there and singing bhajans. So and they went and asked, Maharaj, can you help us? Our ship is not stuck in the storm. Madhvacharya is the incarnation of Vayu. He has no problem. So he removed his shawl and just waved the shawl in one particular direction. And all the storm ended. And the boat which was there capsized, it came out and slowly started sailing. Now when the people who had come from the boat, they came to know that the storm is over, and sannyasi was instrumental in bringing the storm down. They all went back in the small boat and informed us, and told the merchant about this whole miracle. The merchant was very amazed. So he came back again down. He met Shripad Madhvacharya, offered obeisance to him. And he said, please, I want to serve you in some way, because you know, you helped me. My whole wealth which I had taken now was supposed to have gone down in the ocean. But you helped me in rescuing my ship. So I need to offer you something. Please come on the boat and check what you want. So he took Madhvacharya on the boat. And Shripad Madhvacharya saw it was all about some articles for selling, you know, something which was household articles or something for jewelry and all. So a lot of jewelry, a lot of precious, valuable materials there. But some of the sannyasi, being a devotee, did not have interest on anything. He said, I don't want anything. This is not so used to me. This cannot help me in Krishna consciousness. I'm a sannyasi. So as he heard the sannyasi word, immediately they remembered, oh, I've got a big Gopi Chandan chunk. So he said, oh Maharaj, this will interest you. This is a big Gopi Chandan chunk. Please take this, it will help you in puja. So Madhvacharya saw a chunk and immediately could understand it's a very special chunk. He said, why not? Sure. Definitely. So immediately all the sailing people who were there, they started lifting that chunk. But it was so heavy, they were not able to do it. It was very difficult for them to lift it. And the merchant was very surprised because it was used for balancing the ship, therefore it was very heavy, and therefore now he had very less crew who can help the chunk to go back to the place where the sannyasi stays. So Madhvacharya said, don't just leave it there, I'll pick it myself. And Shripad Madhvacharya sang beautiful bhajans of Krishna and immediately effortlessly picked up the whole chunk. And as he was walking with the chunk cracked and it broke apart. And from inside the chunk, a beautiful deity of Krishna manifested. This was the same deity which Rukmini was worshipping, where Krishna himself gave the deity of Bala Krishna, in childhood Lord form of Krishna, to worship. The same worshipable deity of Rukmini was now in the hands of Shripad Madhvacharya. Shripad Madhvacharya brought the deities here in Udupi and established a very beautiful temple and very elaborate worship for the last 800 years. Even today, this worship is going on. And there are so many wonderful traditions and festivals in this place. Even now also many devotees go in large numbers to visit this temple and take beautiful darshan of Udupi Krishna, Sri Bala Krishna. It is mentioned that Srila Prabhupada also went to Udupi and took darshan of these deities. So this is some connection, pastimes of how Rukmini Devi she was initially instrumental in bringing Lord Krishna as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and she was also instrumental in getting one of the deities which are part of our Sampradaya, Madhvacharya Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. And there are many beautiful pastimes. I'll speak one pastime of Rukmini Devi, and then we'll move on to narrate the beautiful pastimes of Jayananda Prabhu. So Rukmini Devi is one of the beautiful pastimes comes in the Dwarka Leela. This is mentioned in Skanda Puran. This was narrated by one of the very senior devotees of our movement, the late His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj. So Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj was primarily preaching in Dwarka in Gujarat area. So mention this beautiful pastime of how one time Lord Krishna was with Satyabhama, and that time Narad Muni happened to come to meet Krishna and Satyabhama. Satyabhama was very pleased with Narad Muni. So Narad Muni, you are such a nice devotee of Krishna. I want to offer something beautiful for you. What do you want? Please ask for me. You are a great sadhu, you are a great sage. What do you want from me? Narad Muni said, I am a monk, I don't require anything. But if you want to give me something, give me something which is very special for you. That which is special to your heart, give me that. Satyabhama said, okay, come with me. Took Narad Muni to her room. The whole room was full of jewels, everything precious which Krishna had given her. So pick whatever you want. This is all special for me. So Narad Muni saw all over the room and said, well, is this special for you or is something more special than this also? Satyabhama started scratching her head and thinking, yes, I have something more precious, and that is my own husband Krishna. Yes, Narad Muni said, the one who gave you all these gifts is more special to you than this. So now you told me, you give me what is more special to me. So give me Krishna. And Satyabhama was in predicament now. Oh, she has given already promised to Narad Muni that whatever is more precious to her has to be given. And she was now in predicament, now going to lose Krishna. Narad Muni is going to take Krishna away. What will happen to us? Satyabhama cried and fell at the feet of Narad Muni and said, Narad Muni, is there any way we can come out of this? Narad Muni said, well, you think about it. Satyabhama said, why? What if I weigh Krishna? The exact amount of weighing of Krishna, I offer you valuables. Narad Muni said, excellent idea. You can try. So immediately Satyabhama arranged for a very huge weighing pan. And Krishna was very like a... Krishna always behaved like a handpack husband of Satyabhama. Right? Because whenever Satyabhama wanted something, Krishna would always arrange for that. So Krishna was about to go to Narakasura to kill Narakasura. Satyabhama said, I want to come with you. Krishna immediately helped her to come. And then from there they went to Swargaloka, heavenly planet Krishna. And Satyabhama saw Parijata tree there. She wanted Parijata tree. Krishna bought the Parijata tree for her. So Krishna was like a handpicked husband for Satyabhama. So immediately Satyabhama asked Krishna, Krishna, please come here and sit on this pan. He said, okay, no problem, sit there. And immediately she got all the jewels which were there in her room and started putting one by one all the jewels. More she put the jewels, she understood that the pan was not moving at all. Krishna was always heavy. And she kept on putting all the jewels, finding that everything she had in the room, on her body, everything she had put on the pan. And still Krishna was weighing heavy. She was in anxiety now. Because now if she doesn't help Narad Muni getting equal weight of Krishna, then what will happen? Narad Muni has to be given Krishna, and that will be very difficult for her. So that time she was in anxiety. So Narad Muni asked, why don't you take help of someone? So immediately Satyabhama called all the 16,108 queens and told, see, our Krishna is at stake. Krishna is gone, we will all suffer. So all the ladies are thinking, what to do, whom, what we should offer. We already maximum wealth. Satyabhama has got, she has offered, nothing is happening. And then Satyabhama turned to Rukmini and said, can you help somebody? And Rukmini said, well, I know just one thing, that one cannot weigh Krishna with material things, right? Only one can only please Krishna and weigh him with your devotion. So immediately Rukmini went out in the garden, took one tulsi leaf, and she came in, and she removed all the jewelry of Satyabhama. And she put her head at the feet of Krishna and started praying, Krishna, you cannot be conquered over by anything. There is nothing which can conquer you except the devotion. When a devotee offers prayers to you, that devotee's prayers conquers you. The person who is unconquerable gets conquered by his devotees, right? So devotee means one person who's a devotee. Devotee is that person who first allows himself to be conquered by Krishna. right? Whatever Krishna you say, I'll do it. That's for a devotee, conquered over by Krishna. And once he's conquered over Krishna, then Krishna gets conquered over by him. That is Krishna consciousness. So Rukmini offer a beautiful prayer, Krishna, we don't want to lose you, please help us. I'm offering this tulsi, small gift as a donation on this plan. Kindly help us, please accept our devotion. As soon as she put tulsi, immediately Tulsi, Maharani's weight went down and Krishna came up. That means Tulsi Maharani outweighed Krishna. Rukmini had prayed that, you know, I cannot offer any wealth, I can offer only Tulsi Maharani, who is very dear to you. And in this way, everyone came to know that the devotion of Rukmini is the highest among all the queens of Dwarka. So this is some beautiful pastimes pertaining to Rukmini Devi's beautiful leelas. We want to now talk about a very great soul who had done a lot for us in the initial pioneer years of Krishna consciousness movement. This is called as none other than His Grace Sriman Jayananda Prabhu, who was very, very dear disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Right? So Jayananda Prabhu, when he came in the year 1967, he joined the temple when Srila Prabhupada came to San Francisco, where Mukunda Maharaj, Janaki Mata, and Shyam Sundar Prabhu and Maruti Mataji, they were all running a center. So Jayananda Prabhu was the one who had heard about Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's Hare Krishna movement through a news article when he was in San Francisco. Srila Prabhupada was in New York that time. And later when he came to know that Hare Krishna has come to San Francisco, he would come to visit the center. And Srila Prabhupada came in that time. So Jayananda Prabhu would regularly come to hear Srila Prabhupada's classes. It is mentioned that at that time, everyone who would come there was a hippie who was completely frustrated with the current material conditions of life. They are all from very well-formed families, but they are given up their families and were living like a hippie. But Jayananda was the only one who was a very composed person. He had a graduate degree from Ohio and he was having a small job. He was the only one. It is mentioned that Prabhupada would have classes in the morning and in the evening. But Jayananda Prabhu offered preferred classes in the morning because in the evening he would work for a job. So Jayananda Prabhu in the morning would come for Bhagavatam class to Srila Prabhupada. And many times, because morning time many hippies would not get up, sometimes Srila Prabhupada would lecture to only one person, that is Jayananda Prabhu. In this, Srila Prabhupada was very pleased with Jayananda Prabhu's devotion. And that time Jayananda Prabhu saw that, you know, if he has to attend programs of Srila Prabhupada, then he can't run a job which is very demanding. So even though he was a big graduate degree holder at that time, Sri Jayananda decided to look for an avenue, a job which will be much easy, user-friendly in terms of attending programs. So he took up a job of a cab driver, a taxi driver. So he should drive taxi whenever he had time, free time. And rest of the time he would always be there doing services for temple and attending Prabhupada's classes. So this was slowly Jayananda started coming regularly, and he would regularly come for eating prasadam Prabhupada. He loved to eat prasadam Srila Prabhupada cooked. And Prabhupada also noticed that this devotee is very special. He takes prasadam, but he also loves to serve. So Prabhupada was engaged in many services. So one fine day Srila Prabhupada asked him that, you know, why don't you join a temple? And immediately joined a temple because he loved Srila Prabhupada. And it is mentioned that the devotees had started doing Harinam Sankirtan. Prabhupada said we should not have jobs. That time many devotees were doing jobs in the temple. Prabhupada said we should do Harinam Sankirtan, depend on Krishna. So many devotees left their job and came and joined temple, and now they were doing Harinam Sankirtan. And Prabhupada saw that devotees were increasing and still there was shortage of fund. So Jayananda asked Prabhupada that I can drive taxi and I can also preach while driving taxi and also distribute the literature, if I can do that. Srila Prabhupada agreed, and Jayananda continued to drive taxi and collect funds to run the temple. It is mentioned that Srila Prabhupada was very desperate to print Bhagavad Gita, the first print of Macmillan, but he was short of funds. He needed $5,000 to print the Bhagavad Gita and he did not know where it would come. So he just revealed his heart to Jayananda Prabhu. And Jayananda Prabhu immediately, from some place wherever he had accumulated money from his family members and all, immediately got that money and offered $5,000 to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was so extremely pleased that Jayananda Prabhu had got this money in such a short amount of time, and Prabhupada arranged for the printing of Srila Prabhupada's his own Bhagavad Gita. So Jayananda Prabhu always had a special heart, a special place in the heart of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada wanted Rath Yatra in San Francisco. It was Jayanand who was in forefront in developing a Rath Yatra card. Shri Jayapatakamala also mentions, you know, that the first day when he came, he saw someone constructing a rath. He did not know what it was. And he went to that place and he asked, the person was working on the rath, what is this going on? And that happened to be Jayanandhu. And Jayanandhu saw this young boy, 19-year-old, ask him, what's your name? He said, my name is Jay. Your name is Jay? Oh, very nice. See, I am trying to do some important construction. This is a very special place. It is abode of God. God is going to drive on this, ride on this, and anyone who helps in this will be benefited by millions of time and get will be getting mercy of Lord. The way Jayanand took the whole thing, Maharaj mentioned that I was very much attracted to the way he was marketing the whole Krishna consciousness. Then he told me that I need one help from you. Can you help for some time? And Maharaj said, yes, why not? What help you need? Said, I'm just hammering the nails in this small vehicle. I need your help. Can you hold the nail and I'll hammer it? Now you all know when you hammer a nail, you don't require any help, right? You can yourself put a nail and hammer it. But Jayanandhu wanted to engage everyone in Krishna service. So what he did was he made Jayapataka Maharaj hold a nail properly and then he would hammer the nail. So this way many times, after some time when Maharaj kept on keeping the nail and hammering it, Jayanandhu started glorifying Maharaj. Oh wow, you are such a nice, you can do really good work. Well, why don't you try with hammer now? You know how to keep the nail, now you hammer it. I'll tell you where to hammer it. And this way, Maharaj had come just for asking some service, some help. And he was so much enamored by the enthusiasm of Jayanand Prabhu that he was there for the whole day helping on the rath. And then when the whole thing got over, then Jayanand Prabhu gave him nice mahaprasadam and told him, can you come next day also? And said, yes, why not, sure. And he mentioned that this warm attitude of devotion Jayanandhu had was the one which was welcoming him to Krishna consciousness. And eventually Maharaj said, I joined the temple later. So this is how we can see that Jayanandhu had an impact on many devotees' life. In fact, those devotees in those times, they were all mentioned that the maximum devotees came via Jayanandhu. He preached to them, he affected their lives and they joined the temple. So many of them, whether they were drunkards, whether they were on the streets or they were qualified people, everyone was just attracted to Jayanandhu's personality. It is mentioned that Jayanandhu would go to market and from market he would talk to the market people and he would give them special cookies. Those are called Jayanandhu's cookies. He would himself make it and give it to them and they would be very happy to get the cookies. And Jayanandhu would ask for donations and they would do donations. Grocery and grains and vegetables. Eventually, later it is mentioned that when Jayanandhu could not go to buy those vegetables, he would send some other devotees. And some other devotees would go and ask for donation and people would say, who are you? And then they would say, we have been sent by Jayanand Prabhu. Oh, you are sent by that man, Jai, he's a great person. No. Devotees and outsiders.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Prabhuji got cut or something.
Yes, Mataji, he has got disconnected. He's on the app, but his line is gone.
So is he talking from India, Mataji? Should I connect him?
Yes, Mataji, do you have his number? Hari Bol.
Mataji, can you send me the number?
Okay, I'll send you the number, Mataji.
Last time remember?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes, where was the last where I got disconnected? Remember anything? Because I was speaking, I didn't know I got disconnected. Any idea?
Yeah, anyone can say.
When the people used to go to for money, when Prabhu could not manage to go, when Jananda Prabhu could not go, and they said, "Who are you?" And then they said, "We have been sent by Jai." Yeah.
Yes.
And
they said,
"Jai, Jai."
Yeah, they know. Yeah.
Yes, thank you so much. So then later, I was mentioning 1977, around that time, Jayanandu developed a very deadly disease in his body, leukemia. And it is mentioned that he was given a lot of money from his parents. They gave him money for treatment of the cancer, this disease, and it is mentioned that he did not take that money. He took the money, but he did not want to use that money for on his own body. He said, "We should not waste any money, Krishna's money, on our body." So he then gave all the money, turned it over to Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada later came to them about how Jayanand's health is deteriorating. Srila Prabhupada ordered devotees that he should admit him in the hospital. So finally, devotees admitted in the hospital, and very well, the hospital, it is mentioned that he was the one who preached doctors and nurses in the hospital. And they were surprised that even a patient like this, who is in the last stages of his life, he is so happy, so joyful. The nurses would be very happy when they would come to his to the bed or to the room where he stayed. The devotees would come to meet him, and devotees would be very unhappy to see him. But just by interacting with him, devotees would smile and they would leave smiling. So finally, when things were beyond control, then finally devotees shifted Dayananda back to temple on his request. And Jayananda was always on his bed in a one room in the temple, and it is mentioned that but he would never miss his chanting. He would get up in the morning, and while in the bed, he would just do Mangalati himself and chant his rounds. So this was a daily activity even at this stage of life. And it is mentioned finally it is mentioned that just a day before Narasingha Chaturdashi, Srila Jayanand Prabhu, he breathed his last, and this was communicated to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada also was very touched by the beautiful example which Jayanandu had said for all the devotees in his convent. Srila Prabhupada wrote a beautiful letter. Even Jayanandu has passed away, but Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Jayanandu. So just a small, just one or two lines I'm mentioning about what the letter is all about. "Dear Jayanandu, you have perfected your life, and you have left us, and you have gone back to Goloka." These are the words Srila Prabhupada himself has written in his own letter. And Prabhupada then mentioned to all the devotees that out of our love and gratitude, every year we should celebrate Jayanand Prabhu's disappearance day as we celebrate our Acharya's appearance and disappearance day. Srila Prabhupada also mentioned that our Rathyatras are very, very much known, and the most important person to help us in Rathyatra was Jayanand Prabhu always. The first ever Rath Yatra which took place was San Francisco. Jayananthu built the Rath for us. And also wherever Rath Yatra happened in America, Jayananthu was always called to take the lead in making Rath. In fact, New York Rath Yatra, the first time ever they made it, three gigantic Raths, they were all done by the help of Jayananthu. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned that because, in fact, Srila Prabhupada had nicknamed Jayananthu as Mr. Rath Yatra. Sometimes we call Mr. Rath Yatra, how are you like? So Prabhupada mentioned that we should all keep Jayananthu's photo on every Rath Yatra card which we have in ISKCON whenever we have his procession. So the devotees who are very close to Jayananthu, they mentioned that Jayananthu was always taking most humble position. To Srila, glorify Srila Prabhupada was his only goal of life. And therefore, because his only goal of life was to glorify Srila Prabhupada, not take any glory, therefore finally in the end, Srila Prabhupada glorified him thoroughly and making him a very important figure in ISKCON. Even after many, many years, many devotees will come later, but still they will know that there was one great devotee in ISKCON who gave his own life for Prabhupada, and that was Jayananda Prabhu. So in this way, we can see that Jayananda led a very exemplary life. Some devotees also mentioned, just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was doing his pastimes, Srila Haridas Thakur, he did not want to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappearing. So he was feeling very heavy heart, and therefore before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared, Haridas Thakur also left because he didn't want to experience separation of Lord Chaitanya. So with that angle, many devotees in ISKCON, senior leaders who were close to Jayananthu, they also have mentioned this, that before Srila Prabhupada left, his dear devotee Jayananthu would not want to experience separation from Srila Prabhupada. He first left this planet, and then before Srila Prabhupada left us, all of us physically. So this is something about Jayananthu's beautiful life of devotion in service to Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON society. We will very briefly touch Lord Narasimhadev's pastimes. We don't have much time. We have already covered almost like an hour here now. But some small pastimes here and there, and tomorrow also many devotees, today also many devotees, later the day, they will speak in Bhakti Sangha conference of Lord Narasimhadev. I will speak a very beautiful pastime. I'll first start with what Srila Prabhupada says about Lord Narasimhadev in his conversations. So one time one devotee, he approached Srila Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, I have one big defect, Srila Prabhupada. I always become angry at slight provocation. What should I do? How should I control my anger? Srila Prabhupada immediately said, you should worship Lord Narasimhadev. And the devotee was taken aback. Why, Prabhupada? You worship Lord Narasimhadev because when you stand in front of Narasimhadev and worship him, you will see that his anger is million times more than yours. And in front of him, you will be so insignificant that you will feel that I am no one. And by worshiping Narasimhadev, your anger will be insignificant and therefore you will not undergo any provocation. So Prabhupada gave this wonderful idea to this devotee who felt that he is very much angry as that provocation. Then Srila Prabhupada also mentioned that we do not even know what Lord Narasimhadev's appearance pastime is. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said that if you want to know how powerful Narasimhadev is, we need to know first how powerful Hiranyakashipu is. And therefore Srila Prabhupada, if you know, in the Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto, there is one chapter which is called as Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the whole universe, right? So Hiranyakashipu, so the whole chapter is speaking about how Hiranyakashipu had caused problems for the entire universe. So once you understand the magnanimity of the power which Hiranyakashipu had, and then we understand this Hiranyakashipu was so effortlessly killed by Narasimhadev. Narasimhadev just ripped apart his whole stomach, abdomen, and pulled out his intestine and threw him out. Then we can understand the greatness of Narasimhadev Bhagavan. So that is how Srila Prabhupada said, when we understand the greatness of Hiranyakashipu's power, then we can realize the power of Lord Narasimhadev. So this is, there are so beautiful pastimes of Lord Narasimhadev. There is one nice understanding which we got from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrit. Srila Prabhupada, who had gone to America in 1966, Srila Prabhupada, he left. He was there in America and began his movement in the New York City. And it mentioned Srila Prabhupada at that time fell sick. And when he fell sick, the devotees were all in anxiety. What will happen to Srila Prabhupada? And Srila Prabhupada that time had arranged devotees to start chanting these Narasingha Aarti prayers. Prabhupada himself wrote down these prayers and gave the devotees and told all the devotees, disciples of his, wherever they were, to chant this Narasingha Aarti and pray and tell Srila Narasingha that Narasingha Mahava, our spiritual master, has not finished his mission yet. If you want, please kindly keep him here. We need him very much. Please protect him. So that Srila Prabhupada's, which is Lord Narasingha's grace, by mercy of Srila devotees, by prayers of devotees, and Srila Prabhupada continued to live with us. And then someone advised him, Srila Prabhupada, that he should go to India to recover his health. Prabhupada went to India. And after around a year he came back, and now he was very much charged up with a lot of energy because of his recuperation and health due to go to Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada revived his movement again, and then he did not see back. And we know the history of all that, how later on Srila Prabhupada went all over the world preaching Krishna consciousness in 1977, writing so many books. So Srila Prabhupada emphasized the worship of Lord Narasingha in our movement. And then Prabhupada said, every morning program we should have Narasingha Aarti so that we can pray daily to Lord Narasingha. Oh Lord Narasingha, kindly protect all of us, kindly protect our ISKCON movement, kindly protect all our devotees so that we can preach and make people also devotees of Krishna. So in this way there are beautiful pastimes of Narasingha. I'll just speak a small pastime and then we will stop here. This is the pastime which I heard from one beautiful temple in the south of India. This is in Andhra Pradesh. There's a temple in Vishakhapatnam, Vizag. That place is called as Simhachalam. Now, I choose this the pastime to speak because right now we see that all over the world, in many temples, they are also celebrating Chandan Yatra festival. They are blowing Chandan. So this story is both Chandan and also of Narasingha Deva. So it is mentioned Hiranyakashipu was trying to kill Prahlad in various ways. And it is said that Hiranyakashipu, when he failed to kill Prahlad, one particular time he got a different plot of killing Prahlad, and he told all his demonic soldiers to carry Prahlad and throw him in the ocean, deep inside the ocean. Throw him from top inside the ocean where the ocean is very deep. So they mentioned that the demons took Prahlad by the skyways and threw him in the ocean from that place where the ocean was very deep. And they were doubly sure if Prahlad was going to die or not. So they picked a very huge hill or a boulder, a big stone or kind of a very big thing, and they threw at the exact place in the ocean where Prahlad Maharaj was thrown. So that, you know, the stone will come down, the rock will come down, the mountain water will come down, and it will smash Prahlad. So they said that when they did so, Prahlad Maharaj was down in the bed of ocean. He was just smiling and praying for Lord, he was just remembering Lord. He was not even asking whether Lord protect me or not. He was always happy, whatever Krishna wants. At that time, Lord Narayan, he did not like this idea that my devotee is in trouble. So Lord Narayan jumped from Vaikuntha down to that ocean and quickly picked up the whole mountain, just like Krishna referred Giriraj, hold the mountain, picked up Prahlad and brought him out. So they mentioned that Prahlad was very amazed. When Prahlad came out, he saw Lord for some time and then Lord vanished. So Prahlad was amazed that Krishna had come, Lord Narayan had come to help him. Later it is mentioned Lord Narasingha appeared and killed Hiranyakashipu, and then Prahlad Maharaj was made the king of the entire property of Hiranyakashipu. So during the days of his king time, when Prahlad was touring as a king, he happened to come to this very place again. And when he came to this place, remember that this place is very familiar to me. I have come to this place definitely. Where is this place? And I remember that this is a place where the demons took me from this place and dropped me in the ocean and all those things. So Prahlad Maharaj, in remembrance of Lord Narasingha, he saw a hill there. And on the hill, he went on the hill and performed. He was meditating on Lord Narasingha beautifully and he was praying earnestly for Lord to appear. So Lord Narasingha appeared again in front of Lord Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj said, Oh Lord, you are so merciful to me. you appeared 2 times in our family to give us darshan, to give us mercy. First you appeared as Varadev when you killed my uncle Hiranyaksha. And then next you come as Narsingdev when you killed my father Hiranyakashipu. Oh Lord, I am so pleased. I want to actually take darshan of you in one form, having both the personalities. And if you can possibly manifest a beautiful deity for me, I can worship your form. So Lord manifested a beautiful deity of Varaha Narsingha, a deity with Varaha face and the body of Narsingdev with claws and a tail. And then he gave to Prahlad and said, Prahlad, you worship this deity. And he offered him puja. So Prahlad, on that same hill where he got the deity, he established a beautiful small temple there. And because Lord appeared that place in the hill, Prahlad Maharaj named that hill as called as Simhachalam. Achalam also means hill, that is immovable. So Simhachalam, place where Lord appeared as Simhadev, Lord Narsingha appeared. So Simhachalam is the place and Varaha Narsingha is the deity. So it is said so that in due course of time, Prahlad Maharaj, his reign got over, he went, he had then after his generation, the next generation came, and eventually as the time passes for many years, as we all know, things not last year, the temple got covered up, something happened, no one knew where the deity is. The deity went inside the ground, and for many years no one knew where it was. Till one fine day, in some particular age, the Satyuga passed away, Dwapar, Treta, I don't know which age, but one particular age, one of the kings, very well-known kings in Bhagavatam, Pururava Maharaj, so he was traveling on a sky airplane of his, and he was somehow other very much engrossed, enjoying the association of Urvashi, and he was coming on that plane, and then he was walking, he was going around in the plane. And he found this beautiful hill, Simhachalam Hill, and thought this is a good place to have nice association with my wife, Urvashi. So he came down on the hill, and he was having a good time with her. So Lord, who was under the ground, he was thinking that my devotee is such a nice devotee, how you fall entrapped in this illusion of enjoying with Urvashi? So I should invoke his devotion back. So that time Lord Varaha Narsingha took the form of Varahadev. Varaha means boar, wild boar, and came to the place where Pururava and Urvashi were sitting. Seeing the boar, Urvashi became very disturbed. She became very fearful. So Pururava took the bow and arrow and chased the boar and kept following the boar. Finally, the boar came to one place and disappeared. Came to that place and disappeared. So then in that case, it is mentioned that he was very surprised where the boar has gone. Anyways, he decided to stay in that beautiful place for a few more days. And when Pururava was sleeping in the night, he got a dream of Lord Varahadev, Lord Varaha Narsingha, and said, my dear devotee, you have forgotten me. Well, I am lying in the ground buried here for many years. I want you to remove me and start worshipping me. So Pururava was very happy. He brought Urvashi to that place where Lord had disappeared, where that boar had disappeared, and then he dug the ground. Just he dug little in the ground, he created some, removed some earth from the ground, and then he saw the deity of Varaha Narsingha. Removed the deity, and there he built the beautiful temple, started worshipping the deity there. And he was started worshipping the deity. It is mentioned that the deity again came in the dream of Pururava Maharaj and told that, I have been under this earth for many, many years, and I am feeling very hot. Just like we have in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Gopal Govardhan, he is telling Malvendra Puri Goswami, get me Chandan. Similarly, something like this here, where Lord was asking Pururava that, I want to be covered by Chandan, and my body is very hot. So then Lord told him that, you cover the body with Chandan throughout the year, just one day, on a day called Akshaya Tritiya, you remove all the Chandan and let everyone take my original darshan. But rest of the time, because the body is very hot, I want to be covered by Chandan. And he gave directions also. As much mud he removed to get me out, that much mud Chandan you apply me 4 times in a year, and finally remove exactly once in Akshaya Tritiya. So what would happen is, on the day of Akshaya Tritiya, they remove all the Chandan of Narsingdev, and the next day, the next day of Akshaya Tritiya on the night time, they put as much Chandan as much the dirt was on the back on the body of Narsingdev. Then after 15 days, the same month when Purnima would come, then they would put same amount of Chandan again on the same deity. That means previous Chandan is there and now new Chandan on the top of that Chandan. And then after 1 month again another Chandan was put. And finally after fourth in the month of Ashad, That is the time when we have Rath Yatra. So that time, that month also, on Purnima day, the full moon day, they apply another mound of Chandan. So finally, after four application, it looks like it's a deity of Shiva Lingam. It's like a linga, full Chandan. But anyways, Lord appears in that form, and then eventually on the day of Akshaya Tritiya, they remove all the Chandan, and the beautiful deity of Varaha, his original form is seen. And Chandan is given as a Mahaprasad to all people who come. And that day, every day there is a lot of devotees who go and take darshan of the deities, but on the day of Akshaya Tritiya, it's impossible to even take darshan of Lord, because there is so many people who are coming all over the world. They come just to take one glimpse of the original form of Varaha Narasimhadev, who appeared for the pleasure of Prahlad Maharaj and later for the pleasure of Kurudeva Maharaj. So there's something about Narasimhadev's pastime. There are many more things which we can hear later as devotees come and speak. Wish you all a happy Rukmini Dwadashi and also happy Jayananta Disappearance Day. And wish you all a happy Narasimha Shabdi celebration tomorrow. And we hope and pray that we all take full advantage of this wonderful days coming together and pray to Srimati Rukmini Devi, the embodiment of devotion, Jayanand Prabhu, the Bhakta, the great devotee of devotion, and Narasimhadev, protector of all devotees, and hope and pray that we all can sail safe through this whole crisis, and our devotion to Krishna may increase more and more. That's our heartfelt prayers, and we hope all devotees will be safe and very happy in Krishna consciousness wherever they are. Thank you all very much. Narasimhadev Bhagwan ki jai. Srimati Rukmini Devi Devi ki jai. Srila Jayanand Prabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All of the devotees assembled ki jai. At this time, if you have anything, you can let me know.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Very, very beautiful class. Very nice pastime. So, Prabhuji, where is these Varaha Narasimha deity?
Yeah, it is still in the place called as Vishakhapatnam in Andhra Pradesh.
Oh.
It's very close to Jagannath Puri. Not very close, but still at least comparatively close. One can go to that place even from Hyderabad. That place is still there. Prabhupada also went to Vishakhapatnam. We have ISKCON temple in Vishakhapatnam. I guess our Mataji there, Nitai Seveni Mataji, right? She is from that place only.
Yes, Prabhupada.
Yes. Yeah. She and her husband run the temple there.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhuji. Anybody has any question for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dharmas Pranam, all close to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. I missed the class because of service, but then Prabhu, like, I had to ask you, like, for tomorrow is Narasimha Chaturdashi, so what should be the mood in which we are going to worship the Lord or have the mood for Narasimha Chaturdashi? Many of them do the Nirjala fasting for it, so what should exactly be the mood, Prabhu? Could you guide on that, please?
Thank you for a beautiful question. So there is something called the Tithi and the rituals connected to the Tithi, and there is something called as mood, right? So as per Tithi, the rituals which are mentioned, Srila Prabhupada has told us that when we celebrate Narasimha Chaturdashi, we should fast till sunset, that is dusk, because Lord Narasimha appeared at that time. So we should celebrate his appearance by fasting. And then after the fasting, then usually I have seen all of ISKCON, they break their fast with Ekadashi food, Ekadashi Anna, and then next day they can do Paran in the, so there's no time for Paran in the next day, but next day they take on Ekadashi. So that's one way of the Tithi, of how the Tithi is followed ritually in terms of rules and regulations. Many devotees, if they have access, of course now we don't have access to many temples now. So wherever you are, you can be there and you can have your own small Narasimha Chaturdashi celebration in your house. What you can do is, if you have a deity of Narasingha, well and good. If you don't have deity, you have photo of Narasingha, please decorate the photo of Narasingha with flowers if you have, or with whatever you have, with love and devotion. And you can offer some bhoga offering to Narasingha and pray for the protection of all devotees of ISKCON and also humanity in general. And that we need Narasingha's beautiful, we need Narasingha's special protection now at this time. Someone told very beautifully that Narasingha is the only Lord who has specifically come, appeared for protecting devotees. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada had arranged that we should sing Narasingha regularly. We see Narasingha Aarti, we sing them in the morning, the temple, morning program. We sing them in the Rajbhog after the Rajbhog Aarti is over, then Narasingha prayers are sing. We even sing in the evening time, in the evening Aarti. And not only that, whenever we go for a journey, let's say we start a journey, we start Narasingha prayers. So we all depend so much on Lord Narasingha for protection, because he specifically needs authorities for protecting devotees. Srila Prabhupada encouraged the devotees in his call to take shelter of Narasingha. If you all remember, in Mayapur also, we had so many problems happening initial days. And finally, we arranged for Narasingha to be installed in Mayapur temple. As a result, then all the problems subsided and our temple is now growing very much. Thanks to the beautiful deity of Narasingha in Mayapur, Shridham Mayapur. So Narasingha plays a very vital role in the life of devotees of ISKCON. So our mood is that we should pray for the protection of everyone around us, and we should also pray that if we can get one drop of devotion, which Prahlad had got, that will make our life successful. Prahlad's devotion cannot be even matched by us, but at least let's pray that let's follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. And by doing so, then our bhakti will also increase, and Narasingha will increase by our increase in devotion towards him. That's what I could suggest. Many more devotees in the conference, they can also enlighten what is the move, what we can pray. And definitely, we should try our best. Tomorrow is a very wonderful, auspicious day for us. Well, there's also many prayers which are there, Vedic prayers. I can say some devotees also had shared with me this Narasingha Kavacha Stotra, Narasingha Karavalambam Stotra. It's a very bona fide prayers which are offered by great devotees. So if you have that access, you can also chant those prayers. Beautiful. I have one sheet of one soft copy of that. I will share with Bhakti Sangha Group. Narasingha Kavach prayers and also the way it is chanted. If you want, I can offer the audio also on the WhatsApp group if you need so.
Sure, Prabhu, thank you. Prabhu, I had one more query. There is one, my Prabhu had found out, there is one Kavacham in which Lord Shani, he glorifies Lord Narasingha Dev. And it says that those who are going to say this Kavacham daily, then Lord Shani also does not trouble that devotee. So there is something called a Shani Kavach. Lord Shani has glorified Lord Narasingha Dev. So that is, with the meanings, it is really nice to, when we read it really feels
nice. Yeah, I have heard about it. But somehow still I have not come across it at any time. Maybe if someone has got, they can share. But if you don't have that and don't get that, at least this Narasingha Kavach was sung by Prahlad Maharaj. It's coming from, I guess, Brahman Puran. And that's also very bona fide. It's chanted in many Narasingha temple all over India. In India, we find many Narasingha temples are there, especially in the south of India, in Andhra and Karnataka, in all those places. And everywhere they chant this mantra. Even Ramanujacharya chanted this mantra also, this Kavacha mantra, this Narasingha Kavacha. So that's also very powerful. In case you don't get that. But the main thing is that we can also focus on reading. We can also read this beautiful section of Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. If you can get a chance to read the whole seventh canto, that's amazing. But time is also not in favor. We can't do everything in one day. But at least we can read this beautiful prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, which you can learn a lot of devotion from his heart, how he offered those beautiful prayers, and Prabhupada's brilliant purpose to those prayers. So we can also meditate on Srila Prabhupada's instruction of devotion to the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj.
Thank you so much, Prabhupada. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudevji, thank you very much for a very nectar in class. Krishna Shingadev Bhagwan ki jai, Prahlad Maharaj ki jai.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the beautiful class once again and giving us the mood to celebrate the coming of Narasingha Dev. If there are.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. If devotees are not having any questions or comments, we will pay obeisances to Prabhuji here.
वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः
जय जय हरे कृष्ण.